You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
For the first time since the championship 1995 season, the Rockets have beaten the Utah Jazz in a playoff series. How sweet it is. On that positive anecdote, welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the NBA's winningest team. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official flagship. It's been a storied rivalry over the years between the Rockets and Jazz in the playoffs, but ever since the championship 94-95 years, it's all gone Utah's way. Series in 97, 98, 2007, 2008, four consecutive series won by the Jazz. Finally, in the second round of 2018, it flips. The top-seeded Rockets defeating the fifth-seeded Jazz, 4-1, led by, well, in Game 5, the 112-102 victory that closed it out. A ridiculous playoff career high, 41 points from Chris Paul, 10 assists, and 0 turnovers. 33 of 22 from the field, and really, I don't think it's a stretch to say that, considering the circumstances, it may have been the finest game of Chris Paul's career. But the only thing that might come close would be the Game 7 he had against San Antonio with the game winner over Tim Duncan, but ultimately that was the first round. This was the second. The Jazz were led by 24 points from sensational rookie Donovan Mitchell. 22 of those came in a ridiculous third quarter in which he took over the game, contributed on directly, either scoring or assist, on 29 of their 32 points in the period. That gave the Jazz a three-point lead going to the fourth, but the Rockets in-game responded to adversity the way that you would like to see them do. Jazz actually took a max lead of 6, 78-72, with a little under a couple of minutes left in the third quarter. Chris Paul then hit a huge three to get the Rockets within one possession going to the fourth quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, Chris Paul took them home, 20 points. So what Donovan Mitchell did in the third, and Mitchell, by the way, left early, but appeared to be a foot injury. Hope for the best for him because he's just an incredible young player who, there were certainly things the Rockets could do better defensively, but a lot of what happened in the third was just Mitchell playing at a true NBA superstar level. Tip your hat. But Chris Paul matched him and then some in the fourth quarter, even against a desperate Jazz team, playing with Rudy Gobert in the middle and anchoring another great defense performance. Jazz on the season, the second-best defense in the league. They showed why this series, Gobert in particular, just such an anchor. Yet Chris Paul, on a night that he didn't have that much help from James Harden. Harden, 18 points, 7 of 22. Chris said after the game that he was under the weather, so perhaps that's a reason to to explain James having a poor night. Maybe it's just randomness. He did have a lot of good looks that went in and out and popped out. But regardless, James Harden, 18 points, 7 of 22 shooting. Also, after 8 turnovers in the Game 4 win, he had 3 in the first quarter tonight. Had, what, just 4 assists. So between them, James Harden and Chris Paul had 14 assists, but, well, 10 of them were from Chris. This was a game in which, down the stretch, Chris had to take the lead, and fitting that he did it, 40-10, 0 turnovers, and then a game that clinches the first conference finals appearance of Chris Paul's storied career. Now 33 years old, a 9-time All-Star, of course, should be 10 this year. It was a joke that he wasn't. And the reason Chris hasn't been in the conference finals is certainly not his fault. Up until this year, the next best player that he had played with would either be Blake Griffin or David West throughout his career. That's simply not good enough in today's era of the Warriors, LeBron, the Spurs before that. Chris Paul hasn't had nearly enough help. This year he's had James Harden, the MVP of the league, and after James has done so much of the heavy lifting throughout the year, well, in Game 5, when the Rockets needed a veteran to step up, that's what the 33-year-old Chris Paul was able to do. And by the way, that's why he is still worthy of a max contract. Is he able to do it consistently, what he gave you tonight, over 82 games in a 6-month regular season? Probably not. But when the stakes are at their highest, yeah, he might miss a few games with nagging leg injuries here or there in the regular season, but when the chips are down, Chris Paul can deliver. That's what he's always done throughout his career. It's kind of ironic that he's hasn't made a conference finals, because in reality, he's been one of the most clutch players that I can recall seeing in the playoffs the last 10 years. Consistently raises his game. Last year, the Clippers against the Jazz in the first round, he averaged 25-10 on 50% shooting. Just a stupendous performance, and yet the Jazz won in 7 games because the Clippers just did not have enough help around Chris. In this series, it was Clint Capela for a large stretch. Clint, from a scoring perspective, was down tonight, just 5 points. Five rebounds. Do think the Jazz made some positive adjustments against him, but the rim protection was there again. Five blocks for Capella after six in game four, including five in the final 240. Just a crazy finish in Utah the other night. But by and large, throughout the series, it's been James Harden doing the heavy lifting, and you could say the same for the entire postseason. But in this one, James needed some help, and Chris gave it to him. And perhaps it's sort of fitting, because the way the second round ended a year ago, that was the dud in which the Rockets were beaten by almost 40 on their own home floor by the Spurs in Game 6. Harden went, I believe, 2-for-11. There was nowhere else to turn. If Harden had a bad night, the Rockets were done. This year, that's not the case. And perhaps it's only fitting that a year ago the season ends in the second round because a great defensive team took away option A and there was nowhere the Rockets could turn. This year, the Jazz are a great defensive team. I think Rudy Gobert in particular made Harden's life miserable, especially as the series moved along. But ultimately, the Rockets could counter. They did have help. And so that's why, in my opinion, it was fitting to have Chris Paul be the guy, 40-10, to take the Rockets one round at least beyond where they went with James Harden alone a year ago. We don't know who officially the Rockets are going to play in the Western Conference Finals yet. I'm recording this podcast as Pelicans-Warriors Game 5 is going on, but let's be real, it's almost certainly going to be the Warriors in the matchup we've been waiting on all season long. Even if somehow the Pelicans stave off elimination tonight, for the Warriors to lose three consecutive games, although they have blown a 3-1 lead before, someone told me, but for the Warriors to blow three consecutive games, two at home against the New Orleans Pelicans, seems rather far-fetched. I think the far and away likely scenario, it'll be Rockets-Warriors, and probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, it'll be officially clinched starting next week. It sounds like Monday night at Toyota Center for what should be just a fascinating best-of-seven series. The Rockets, they certainly need to improve some things, but they're going to have a lot of time off. I've had some folks asking me, what do you think about the time off? Because if it starts next Monday, you're going to have 6 days between the end of this series and the start of the next one. And ultimately, I think that's fine. The Rockets, at this point, when you play the Warriors, there are no excuses. This is what they've been waiting on all season long. I think, if anything, some of those veterans, like Chris Paul that we mentioned at 33 years old, playing almost 38 minutes tonight, could use a little bit of time off, some R&R, to get back before the next round. I know they had a sluggish start to the Minnesota series, and some wondered if that's because of the layoff. I don't think that's because of the five-day layoff between the end of the regular season and the playoffs. I think that was the unique situation, with the Rockets having clinched the number one seed throughout the NBA playoffs way back in March, and not really having played a competitive game in over 2 weeks. I think that was a much more relevant factor to what went on in the Minnesota series than just physically having 4 days without basketball. So the Rockets, they're going to be up for the Warriors. The Toyota Center crowd's going to be up. And it's just going to be a matter of whether they can deliver. Certainly, they need more from James Harden than they got the last two nights. But generally, throughout this postseason, he has been there. It's easy to forget, but before the final two games of the Utah series, it was easy to poke holes at Chris Paul. He was the guy that you wondered when he was going to come around. Even in the Game 3 domination in Salt Lake City, he shot just 6 of 17 from the field. Well, the final two games when the Rockets needed him to answer the bell, boy, did he, averaging nearly 35 points a game in these final two games on more than 50% shooting from the field. This all from nearly the smallest player on the floor. Well, definitely the smallest player on the floor for the Rockets. Just, I could not be happier for the guy. Only fitting that he is the guy to close it out as the Rockets advance to just their second Western Conference Finals appearance in the last 21 years, and the first in the storied career, certainly Hall of Fame career, of one Chris Paul. Now, I wanted to lead off the show discussing Chris Paul because I think he deserves his due. Not just for tonight, but what he's gone through in his career. I think it's very important to give him the respect that he's owed. He won this game. This was hashtag playoff CP3. But he was far, far from alone. James Harden mentioned that he had 18 points and 7 of 22 shooting. That's an underachieving night for the league's presumptive MVP. He still certainly contributed. I know there's disappointment in Harden's performance. 2 games in a row in which 8 of 22, then 7 of 22. He needs to shoot better. I do think it's important. We heard from Chris Paul after the game that James was under the weather. It was a down night for James, just as Game 4 was, but it's always easier to adjust when you win. That's one thing. And secondly, I never saw him disengage. First, in the fourth quarter, we mentioned 20 from Chris Paul, and even three before that, the three to cut it from 6 to 3 at the end of the third quarter was big. Chris Paul did a lot. Don't forget the 4-0 run the Rockets went on in the middle of the quarter, led by James Harden. Actually, a strip and score against Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell had everything going at that point. Harden picked him clean, went in for a dunk, then had a tough step-back J on the following possession. Those 4 points were big. Actually, those couple of possessions may have given Chris Paul a slight moment that he could kind of catch his breath, reduce his usage for the short term before Chris Paul got his, I don't even know if second wind is accurate, maybe third or fourth wind to close the door over the final 6 minutes, including a ridiculous stretch, which I believe he scored 13 straight points for the Rockets in about 3 minutes. Just as incredible a game as I've ever seen Chris Paul play, and really one of the best basketball games individually that I've ever seen any player play in person. He had Toyota Center on a string by the end of the game, chance of CP3. I know Harden's been the hero longer, so certainly the crowd reacts to James more strongly, but in a season that has not had that much adversity, and by that I mean the Rockets have been so dominant throughout, and of course it's all, to some degree, some of the headlines were about James Harden getting the MVP that he was wrongfully denied a year ago. I feel like, in terms of the Houston sports landscape, it feels like Chris Paul flew under the radar for a lot of this past year, despite being as good as he's been. Well, tonight was his signature moment, and it just felt like he was winning over those fans. I'm not going to say Chris Paul has equaled or let alone surpassed James Harden. Certainly, James has been here 6 years. He's the MVP for a reason. This is James Harden's city. But Chris Paul had his signature moment in Houston. You could feel him not just winning the game, but winning that crowd, just an incredible environment. And by the way, I know the crowd gets a lot of grief, but when this game mattered, they were absolutely into it. The lower bowl at Toyota Center on their feet, and I have full confidence, especially against the Golden State Warriors, things are going to be just fine. I'm annoyed, too, by the club dynamics. I see the pockets of empty seats, especially early in games, just like you guys do. It's annoying. Are there some things the Rockets could improve? Yes, but when it's winning time, and I think the entire NBA knows that the entire every minute of the Golden State series, if you're going to take down arguably the most talented team of all time, is winning time, the fans are going to be there, and they lifted the Rockets tonight, and I think they also kind of had their crowning, I don't know if crowning moment is the right way to sum it up, but I would say Chris Paul had his you're one of us moments, because he's always been good, but this was when he put his imprint on this team in his new arena, and one that I fully suspect, even though he's a free agent this summer, it's going to be his for the rest of his career, because Chris Paul's relationships in Houston are just that good. So certainly want to lead by discussing Chris, but don't want to forget James, because James, he had 18 points. He did draw a lot of attention, mentioned the 4 straight points he had in the fourth quarter. And beyond just the 4 straight points, let's point out that James kept shooting. One of the things that people pointed out in the game 6 last year, 2 of 11, was that he just shot 11 times. He seemed to check out. No, James actually shot 22 times, which was tied for Chris Paul for the most of anyone in the game on either team. He kept pushing, and even though at one point I think he was like 3 of 14, he did get a couple to go down in the fourth quarter. He was 1 of 7, so actually inside the arc, what, that's 6 of 15. Still not good by any means, don't get me wrong. You don't want to shoot 40% inside the arc, but it's not as bad as it might seem. He did, I thought, get frustrated with the officiating, so only went to the foul line 4 times, but it's not like he disengaged. Again, you shoot the ball 22 times, that's twice as much as the game 6 everybody loves to reference last year. And defensively, he's never going to be the quickest guy on the perimeter, so when the Jazz got Donovan Mitchell onto him one-on-one, generally James does not have the lateral quickness to hold up that well. That's just the reality. That's not effort, that's just physics. But at the same time, he stayed engaged, and ultimately a big play in that fourth quarter was that strip and score on Donovan Mitchell, in which Harden got the steal and then took it coast-to-coast for the dunk. So even though it was not a banner game for James by any means, he's going to be very unhappy when he sees the film. At the same time, mentally, I do think there were things you saw from James in this game that maybe you don't see a year ago, and I think some of that might be the leadership of Chris Paul beyond just what he brings you as a fabulous basketball player, having scored 41 points to go with 10 assists. Also, a guy I can't believe I haven't mentioned yet, PJ Tucker, a career-high 19 points, a playoff career high, I should say. Both Chris Paul with 41 and PJ Tucker with 19. Those are playoff career highs for those guys. PJ, 7 of 9 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3. Also had 6 rebounds, played 36 minutes, and the Rockets needed him for all of those minutes because he was so huge in regards to their level of defense. PJ is a guy that Mike D'Antoni, head coach, has said throughout the year, the bigger the game, the better he shoots. Well, that was on full display tonight. Because as great as Chris Paul was in the second half, he wasn't bad in the first. He was still pretty good. he had, what, 15 and 6, but that was just, you know, an appetizer for the main course to come. Those threes from P.J. Tucker, he was at 16 by the middle point of the third quarter. Those were essential in letting the Rockets survive the onslaught from Donovan Mitchell. Because Mitchell was 22 in the third, contributing on 29 of the Jazz 32 points. I know he's a rookie, but he was doing things that only, I would say, five or six players in the entire league are capable of doing. That's what Mitchell's upside is, and so you hope the best for him with his foot, because certainly I know he said some things in the heat of the moment after game four, but by and large, everything I've seen about him, he's a good guy, means well, might be occasional moments of immaturity as there would be with any rookie, but by and large, great guy, incredible player, ridiculous upside. And what's amazing about Mitchell in this series, he didn't really shoot the three that well. Tonight he was just 2 of 7, and that's one of the things that I think is easiest to fix. So if you combine his body control, the things he can do off the dribble, and then working on his three-point shot in the gym over the summer, just imagine what Donovan Mitchell can be in the years ahead. I mean, the Utah Jazz are going nowhere, so it's nice to see the Rockets get off the snide against the Jazz, their first series win in the last 5 tries, because, yeah, I want the Rockets to have some positive experiences against Utah. They did win, by the way, 8 of the 9 matchups this year, 4 or 5 in the playoffs. Add that to the 4-0 mark in the regular season, because I don't think the Jazz are going to go anywhere. They're a team that's going to be around for a while. But PJ, to get back to the point, the threes he made, and some of them weren't from the corner. I mentioned that, but he had a huge one from above the break, and then PJ, in the final 2 minutes of the game, had the dagger to put the Rockets up 10 to essentially seal it. Only fitting that PJ Tucker, this generation's Mario Elie, has the shot to clinch the second round. Not nearly as dramatic, of course, as Mario Elie on the last Rockets championship team, the aforementioned 95 group that did it against Phoenix in Game 7 with the kiss of death from the corner. Nonetheless, it was still a big PJ Tucker shot from the left side of the floor to put them up 10 and essentially seal the game. But PJ's been that guy all year. He always leads the defense. He is enormous, his spirit, his leadership in the locker room. Mention Chris Paul from the context of the Rockets having another option that they didn't have last year in the second round when things went south for James Harden. Well, Chris Paul isn't the only newcomer. So is PJ Tucker. So is Luke Bamute, by the way. Luke Bamute had 8 points in over 20 minutes. All of those came in the first half, and Luke was a key adjustment for the Rockets because you could see after Chris Paul in the mid-range game did so much damage to the Jazz in Game 4, Quinn Snyder adjusted by bringing his bigs, most notably Rudy Gobert, out higher to take away that mid-range shot, so you needed more slashing. That's what Luke Bamute was able to do in the first half. Now, I think during the game, we saw the Jazz, after Bamute proved that, kind of slip back into the style of defenses that they had employed throughout much of the series, and that's when Chris Paul was able to start cooking again. But early on, Luke Bamute's 8 points, most of them on slashes right to the rim, were very instrumental in making the Jazz respect that as a dimension of the Houston offense. Luke has had his minutes inconsistent this series, coming back from the dislocated right shoulder, but tonight was a big step for him. And just as Chris Paul and PJ Tucker are new, so is Luke. And all three of those guys, not there in the second round a year ago, well, folks, they're here now, and they all had enormous stretches in this game. By the way, I mentioned that it was a down night for Capella. 5 points, 5 boards. The Jazz took away the lob game that had been so effective for the Rockets throughout this series. Maybe some of that, too, was Harden, just for whatever reason, not being in sync. We mentioned him being under the weather. Well, another key stretch of this game, the Rockets were actually tied, I believe, with, what was it, about 150 left in the first half. And the Rockets finished the first half, the final 150, in a tuck wagon lineup. They have not used it that much this series. I think some of that's because they don't really have the bodies to fill out 1 through 4. Ryan Anderson falling out of the rotation. Luke Bamute, Mike D'Antoni not quite knowing. He admitted before the game that Luke's still not 100%, which should be expected coming off a dislocated shoulder twice in a season. But for the first time in a while, we saw the Rockets try that tuck wagon lineup, which we know they've ran very often this season against Golden State with a lot of success, so perhaps it's a nice precursor to that. Well, the final minute 50 of the first half, Rockets finish on an 11-3 burst to give them the 8-point lead at the half. And just as PJ making some shots in the second half, that was also a big part of how the Rockets were able to survive that Mitchell onslaught in the third quarter, because they gave themselves an 8-point cushion going into it. And the Rockets didn't use it very much. I think it's good to see that it's still in their toolbox, because they could use it a lot more in this coming round. I think the Rockets, with the Warriors not really having a traditional center, I think you are going to see a lot more driving lanes for James Harden and Chris Paul. I know the Warriors are a much better team, but I think James Harden in particular is going to be much happier in a Golden State matchup that does not have a rim protector like Rudy Gobert. It would not surprise me. The same way we saw Harden in the 2015 Western Conference Finals lead off with 2 great games against the Warriors, coming off a second-round series, a grueling one in which he went against DeAndre Jordan. It felt like that, you know, after you play the Warriors, instead of a team with Jordan around the bucket, that just kind of the seas parted for James. Wouldn't surprise me if there's a little bit of the same effect here, going up against whatever the Warriors have in the middle, instead of Rudy Gobert. But in this setting, against Utah, one way to open up the driving lanes for James, and especially Chris in this game, and they did it in pockets, was that tuck wagon lineup, and late in the first quarter, because when you do that, that's what spreads the Jazz out. They have to respect shooters all over the court, and it opens up the driving lanes. It gives you more easier one-on-one isolation plays without the hedging, and the Rockets had 11-3 bursts led by P.J. Tucker. He had a lot of points himself, mentioned 19, a playoff career high, to go with 41 from Chris Paul, also a playoff career high. But even when he wasn't scoring, Chris Paul was the one who did most of the heavy lifting, at least in terms of putting the ball on the rim, that final minute 50 of the first half. It was P.J. Tucker being at the five that kind of enabled that by spreading the floor. So I would say, in terms of the supporting cast behind Chris Paul, James Harden, disappointing game, but ultimately didn't disengage. There were still some positive things he did. But in my opinion, it's the newcomers, not just Chris, but after him, PJ, Luke, the guys that were not there a year ago, who made sure that that's why this closing game in the second round, with James Harden not playing well, did not go the way Game 6 did a year ago, which ended the Rockets' second round, but for a much different reason, and ultimately ending the series. And as I mentioned earlier, Clint Capella, not a banner night scoring or rebounding, but he did have five block shots, and that's so big to see him able to contest without fouling. Actually, he had a phantom foul in the fourth quarter, got four fouls, and at least one of them was very undeserved. But general, 11 block shots in the last two games for Clint Capella, that is absolutely elite rim protection, and they're going to need him against Golden State, because you play the Warriors, and I'm assuming that's going to be the case. You need your variables, and you know what Chris Paul and James Harden are going to do. By and large, it's Clint Capella and Eric Gordon that are your next options that are fully capable of stepping in to that tier similar to what maybe a Klay Thompson can give you. And Clint Capella, he by and large has done it this series, a little bit of a decline tonight. I'll talk more about that in the days ahead, because we do have some off days. A lot, I should say, six before the next game, next Monday night. But for now, I would say just be pleased with his rim protection, because even on a night when he had 5 points, five boards, the rim protection was still enough that he still had a big impact on this game. Now, to close out, final segment, I mentioned the variables, one of them being Clint Capella. The other was Eric Gordon, just 2 of 8. Disappointing, because after a game 3 in which he had 25 points, 8 of 13, the last two games have not been good for Eric. It goes without saying. If Clint Capella is one of your variables to get to Golden State's level, Eric Gordon is one of your others, and he did not play well tonight. I also thought the Jazz exploited him defensively a lot in this series. The good news, the silver lining, is that if you've watched Eric Gordon throughout the year, it's not like there's much rhyme or reason to when he gets hot versus gets cold. He does not seem to have a ton of carryover from one game to the next. So it's very possible, especially with this much time off in between games, perhaps, you know, we have mentioned with Eric, one thing that he benefits from is extended time off. His best stretch of the year was right after the All-Star break, when he had basically 2.5 weeks off, combination of minor injury before the break, then the week-long break, then the food poisoning, and then Eric had his best stretch of the season starting in late February. Maybe you're setting up for that again with nearly a week between the second round and the Western Conference Finals. And it wouldn't surprise me, because we have seen him heat up very, very quickly, especially if he does have time off. So I think that's the thing to watch for the Rockets. He hasn't been good the last two games. And I don't know what to tell you guys about why it happened, other than he's just missing shots. Tonight, 2 of 8 from the field, just 1 of 5 from 3. Thought he got pretty good looks. Defensively, I did think he was victimized a lot this series by the Jazz, but there are ways to hide him. I think one of the issues with Eric is just his sheer lack of size. The Warriors, they're big, they're long, they're not as physically intimidating on the glass in the same ways that a team with Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors are. So I think there might be some ways, as strange as it is, against a team as great as the Warriors, to mitigate it. Also, there's the option, you know, of checking an Andre Iguodala, someone that is not going to give you a whole lot offensively. So there are ways to hide Eric's defense. But ultimately, from the Rockets, it's not really going to be about defense for Eric. It's about needing him to be a guy just like Klay Thompson for the Warriors, who can heat up and score you 20 to 25 points in a given night on 50% from three, if that's what you need. You need him to get hot at times. And I think for the Rockets, he wasn't there tonight. And They need him to be starting next week. That's, I would say, one of the reasons, when you look at this box score, why was it a 10-point game? Why did the Rockets have to outscore the Jazz by 13 in the fourth quarter to win this in a game the Jazz were without Ricky Rubio, without Dante Exum, with Donovan Mitchell leaving early? And certainly Donovan Mitchell did some things right, but there are also some things you did wrong. James Harden goes without saying, it was a down night for him. 18 points, 7 of 22 from the field. It's also a down night for Eric Gordon. Just 5 points on 2 of 8 shooting. The other thing for the Rockets that they have got to control is the pace. We saw in this game that the Rockets, when they could set their defense in the first quarter, it was really good. Held the Jazz 16 points. When the game got helter-skelter in the second and the third transition, that's where the defense was not good. And the Golden State Warriors with Stephen Curry, they are as good as it gets in transition. They are really, really good. So I think for the Rockets to succeed, they have got to, in this next round, focus on slowing pace, because after makes, they are the second-best defense in the NBA. By the way, the Jazz are the best. That's a stat I learned from David Locke, the host of Locked On Jazz. If you want their reaction, of course, to this series, you can check out LockedOnJazz.net. That's where you have the Utah affiliate on this Locked On Podcast Network. But the Rockets, on both ends of the floor, since about the start of February, they've been one of the slowest-paced teams in the NBA. It certainly benefits them offensively with the isolation game, especially Chris Paul at 33 years old. Well, it benefits them defensively as well. There is a huge variance in performance of the Rockets defensively when it's set versus when it's in transition. And the Rockets tonight, they reminded you that there were moments where they looked really dialed in defensively, generally when it was in the half court. And there were moments when they just lost guys in transition. And ultimately, I think whether they can control the pace, that's going to be the story of this next round against the Warriors. And if you control the pace, not only does it make you better defensively, but it also plays to the strengths of your veterans offensively. Guys like Trevor Ariza, Chris Paul. Ariza tonight, I haven't mentioned his name, had just 2 points, but his defense, I thought, was still pretty solid. And of course, coming off a game in which he was plus 40 a couple of nights ago, which was just ridiculous. Or was that game 3? I can't remember. But by and large, point is the same. You got a lot of guys in your 30s for the Rockets. Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute. You've got your veterans. You've got guys that can make plays in isolation. Slow the pace down. It lets the Rockets play to their strengths in the half court offensively. And it also limits the ability of the Warriors to exploit your greatest weakness, which is how you defend in transition. The Jazz reminded you of that tonight. And ultimately, can the Rockets be better at it? Sure, you could always focus more. By and large, I don't think you're going to, at this point in the season, turn a weakness into a strength. We know what the Rockets are in the half court defensively. We know what they are in transition. The key is to slow that pace, grind out the Warriors. And also, by doing that, I think you also would make Golden State uncomfortable if you could dictate the style of play. And it's kind of ironic, considering the coach is Mike D'Antoni. But ultimately, Mike D'Antoni, he responds to his players. That's why he was the coach of the year last year. And honestly, he deserves it again this year, even though he probably won't get it, because we all know we have to have a new narrative every year, it seems like. That's just the way NBA Twitter goes. But by and large, Mike D'Antoni, he's not selfish. It's not about him. It's about his players. He's done a good job this year of adjusting to the cast of players, this great supporting cast put in place by GM Daryl Morey. And tonight was a reminder in terms of the low lights. Certainly James Harden, Chris Paul had bad shooting nights. Rockets, by the way, did have their best three-point shooting game of the series. 18 of 39, 39 of 83 in terms of three-point attempts to overall attempts. That's nearly 50%. So maybe the Rockets offensively had their healthiest night of the series. It's hard to say because some of it was just Chris Paul going one-on-one and just making some incredible plays in isolation. But either way, the raw numbers suggest that the Rockets had a better game offensively, and there were moments when they looked good defensively as well. Just in terms of what went wrong, I would say transition defense, that remains an Achilles heel. Best way to do it is to dictate the pace, and that helps you offensively as well. And in terms of executing in the half court, assuming you can dictate the pace, Chris Paul certainly did his part and then some, had a lot from the supporting cast, PJ Tucker especially. In general, you just need James Harden and Eric Gordon to be the guys they've been for most of this year. And if they're able to bounce back, and now they get nearly a week off, then there's no reason the Rockets can't compete with anyone. And yes, that includes the Golden State Warriors. So for tonight, I think that's enough talk, because we've got a lot of days ahead to potentially analyze all sorts of angles of this Rockets-Warriors matchup. Didn't even mention Ryan Anderson, who, of course, did not play tonight. He was pulled from the rotation after Game 2 of this series. It was clear not really a great matchup against the Jazz size. The Rockets continually went with Nene. But throughout the year, Anderson's been a difference maker against the Warriors. The last Houston Golden State game in late January, Ryan played 30 minutes and had a team-high 13 rebounds. So it would not surprise me if against the Warriors, we mentioned their lack of a traditional big very often, and it would not surprise me if Ryan is a better matchup than Nene. We heard Mike D'Antoni. I asked him before the game in the press conference about guys like Ryan Anderson and Gerald Green, who had been yanked in and out of the rotation, depending on the matchup, how they stay fresh. And he went out of his way to say that just because somebody's not playing in this series doesn't mean they won't in the next. So, yes, it would not surprise me if Ryan Anderson comes back in the rotation. So we've got a few days to discuss all sorts of angles. That, how the Rockets match up across the board with the Warriors, final thoughts from this series. So I'm going to work on the days ahead, lots of interviews, analysis, because, yeah, we've got a lot of time to dive in. For one night, I think we can keep it mostly about Game 5 and celebrate just this historic night in which Chris Paul advances to the Western Conference Finals, first time in his storied career, on the back of a playoff career high, 41 points, 10 assists, 0 turnovers, 20 points in the fourth quarter. Just an incredible show by Chris Paul down the stretch at Toyota Center. He made this, at least for one night, his town. He is now, he's always been officially Houston Rocket, but now you kind of get that feel that, yeah, he's there. He has arrived in terms of his meaning and significance to the Houston fan base. And I think going into the Western Conference Finals, it could not come at a better time for the Rockets to realize that it's not just James Harden's team. It is truly a team, as shown by career highs, not just from Chris Paul, but PJ Tucker as well, in this closeout Game 5 against the Utah Jazz. By the way, Rockets in the playoffs, 8-2, winning percentage of 80% against two very good teams in Minnesota and Utah. So through 10 postseason games, tip your hat. The playoff Rockets, they're doing exactly what the regular season Rockets did in terms of winning percentage and getting it done. This has been a very good team in terms of hashtag playoff CP3, playoff Harden, any of the silly narratives that are out there. The Rockets in the playoffs, they're doing exactly what they did the regular season. This is not a Toronto situation. They have clearly shown that what we saw over 82 games, winning 65, best in the NBA, yeah, it's absolutely translating to the playoffs as well. And for their efforts, the Rockets now get almost a week off before resuming the Western Conference Finals against either the Warriors or Pelicans, almost certainly the Warriors. And from what I hear, that sounds like it would be next Monday night here at Toyota Center in Houston. The Rockets, of course, having home court, which means games 1, 2, 5, and 7 will be right here at Toyota Center in Houston. So for now, I will sign off from Toyota Center. As always, thanks to you guys, my loyal listeners, for tuning in. If you want more content, as I mentioned, I'm going to have a lot of shows in the days ahead. Best place to keep up with what I'm doing is on Twitter. I am on Twitter at Ben Dubose, just my name. The show is on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. Also got an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, whatever we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, would absolutely love to hear from you. Also, don't forget our website at lockedonrockets.com, our Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, and of course, all the places you can subscribe to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, so many sources. Just search for Locked On Rockets, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review. That's how we're able to remain financially viable as the only daily podcast covering the NBA's winningest team. And as I mentioned, you want to hear from the other side, check out what David Locke and the guys over on the Utah Jazz radio call thought about the Rockets tonight and in this series. You can check out Locked On Jazz, or you can check out any daily podcast across the NBA or NFL, and even a few MLB teams as well. I know we're all going to have a little bit more time off in the days ahead, so if you got some time to kill, would strongly encourage you to take a look around the awesome Locked On Podcast Network and try out a few other shows as well. Anyway, I think that's enough for tonight. So once again, the very happy final from Toyota Center. Rockets 112, Jazz 102. Rockets win the series 4-1. And for the first time since the championship year, the last championship year for the Rockets of 1995, the Rockets have now beaten the Utah Jazz in a playoff series. How sweet it is. For now, folks, have a good evening. And thanks again for listening to me here at Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the NBA's winningest basketball team.